You are listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. And Cindy, can you hear me over there?
I can hear you.
Okay, and now we're going to find out if we can hear the guys. Bob and Bruce, are you there?
Yes, we are. Can you hear us?
Jeff, Cindy, can you hear us?
We can.
Yes.
For a minute there, it sounded like you were standing in the middle of the highway, but otherwise...
Well, we sort of are. We are sitting on a roadside, the best kind of setup we could get today.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's be an occasional vehicle going by, but it's a pretty quiet road. So I think we're okay.
Yeah, where are you?
Let us know if it doesn't work.
Where are you exactly?
We are in New Albion, Iowa, and that's about as far northeast as you can get here.
We're within just a few miles of the Minnesota border here.
Ah, so you're about to cross over.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And do you actually cross, you're on the other side of the Mississippi now.
Yes.
We're on the west side, yes.
Do you go back across?
No. We crossed a town of Clinton, and we are going to stay on this side. The Mississippi eventually goes west. We'll cross there and stay along the La Crosse River north to Minnesota, to Minneapolis.
It goes up and around Minneapolis. As opposed to the Mississippi going through the city. So we're going to go up and above and around it.
Yeah, so are you going to go actually into the city on this trip?
No.
No, he said
no, I don't think so. Probably not.
Okay.
We can't think, unless there's a good reason. If somebody out there's got a good reason, we're all pedals.
There's the Mary Tyler Moore statue is there.
Oh, really?
You go right through the middle of town and see that.
Well, that's worthwhile. We may have to make that.
Although
is there a Lou Grant statue there too?
There should be.
But I have to warn you though that the Mary Tyler Moore statue is smaller than life, so you have to look sharp.
I don't know if Mary Tyler Moore trumps Dan Quayle though. I don't.
Yeah, that's true.
So, certainly not in the faux pas category.
So you guys have had a few days off. You actually took the Memorial Day holiday off.
We actually sort of had a real grunt to get to where we wanted to be for Memorial Day. When we last spoke with you, we were on a canal with a little tiny bicycle path that proved to be quite a challenge. And we hammered out about 30 miles of that and suddenly realized that was going to be no way to get a 100-mile day. So we sort of bushwhacked, sort of tried to cut a corner for a couple of days to make time to get to Dave Hattery's parents' house, which was really quite an adventure over the last couple of days.
Yeah, before that, we actually, on the way, we crossed the Mississippi at Clinton, and that was a real, that was an event, crossing the Mississippi. It felt like we had reached sort of the halfway mark. It's not actually halfway mileage-wise, but it feels like we've sort of reached a landmark.
It was a pretty majestic moment to come to a stop in the middle of this bridge with a tiny little footpath, kind of precarious footpath, sort of the days of the old Narrows Bridge footpath, and just to look up and down the river and realize, wow,
there it is.
That's a significant bit of progress.
Yeah.
Big chunk of water. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But we rode. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you said you're not quite halfway yet, but the Mississippi is kind of a symbolic halfway.
It's a symbolic halfway, right?
Where are you in the grand scheme of things? This is a 4,000-mile ride. How far have you gone?
We are at, Jeff, I knew you'd ask.
I looked,
and it was 1,831 miles in.
So we're a little short of halfway.
Oh, man.
And we're assuming that this is 4,000. We don't know completely sure. The little angles we've taken may have added, may have detracted, and we don't really know, but it's in the 4,000 category. So about the time we come down off North Cascades Pass, we'll know pretty close what it's going to be, but really not before then.
Where is the halfway point? Have you figured that out?
I have not gone that far.
No, we don't really know how long the ride is.
No, I'm not sure.
Oh, I meant in terms of miles. Like, when will you hit 2,000?
That's what we don't know. You can't believe how vague this is. Every day we have two different things going. We have our adventure cycle map, which we follow, and the mileage on that. And then we also log in GPS routes. And you can put into your Safari search, you can put in bicycle route from to, and they give you very good routes. And we always put those in, and then Bob and I look, and we figure out that, well, let's see, it's going to be 95 miles a day. What does it turn out to be, Bob?
105, 110. Bruce is turning into the Zen Master GPS map controller, though.
He's, oh, really?
The last day that we spoke to you, we were on that Hennepin Canal Trail, and from there we went to the river. But the way we got there, you would not believe. I mean, we were driving down people's driveways. Behind their garages. And
wow.
The road's right here. I know it is. And sure enough, we'd veer right, left, and be right back on a road, go down gravel roads. And we ended up doing 100-plus miles, but it was a circuitous, tough day.
So the point is that after, oops, here comes a truck, we'll let that one pass. After the difficult sort of shortcutting to make sure we could get to the Hatteries, and the point there being, we wanted off the road for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Memorial Day is the wrong place to be a bicyclist.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, another truck. And we wanted a place to hang out. And boy, did David's parents, Don and Mary Lou Hattery, come to our rescue.
Well, yeah. It was just totally coincidental that we happened to be there at that time. It was just sheer luck.
David
got us connected with his folks, and we were going to stay there with his folks, but he decided to make a surprise visit. So he came and stayed with us a couple of days. His folks' house is literally right on the Mississippi River in McGregor. I mean, it was at flood stage, so we had to walk in about shin deep water to get to the back deck.
The Hatteries house is in the Mississippi,
yeah.
The Mississippi, and sitting up on about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 foot tall stilts. A spectacular place. I have been not very on this in a regular way, but I do send an occasional Facebook photo, and I will send one later today of their house. And it was just, it worked so well on so many fronts. First, they're wonderful people, and David's sister and his brother and sister-in-law came, and it was a pretty, we joined the Hattery family, and boy, did they put on a spread for us. It was a great deal of fun.
Yeah, we ended up taking a few days off, and so we feel like we're starting the second piece of our trip with a little bit of a respite here. It's been great.
I actually had to make an unplanned trip back to Boston, where I picked up the underwear and toothbrush I'd left there and hurried back to connect with Bob. And by the time I got back there, it was pretty clear that the papers for Bob's adoption had almost been drawn up.
He was being taken in.
Yeah, David's mom and dad gave me the royal treatment, showed me the whole region. That area is really not what I thought it was going to be. I had this vision of Iowa being flat and cornfields, but the area that the Hatteries live in is called the Driftless area, and it's sort of the corner of Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, and it's an area that the glaciers never hit. So consequently, there's limestone bluffs on both sides of the river, and scenic as hell. It's just a beautiful area.
Did you go up to Pikes Peak State Park?
Yes, we did.
Whoa, we did.
Now, Pikes Peak is right behind the Hattery House, believe it or not. You can get up there and see down. Yeah, that's where it is.
And, Jeff, did you know that that was actually Pike's first peak?
No.
It is the same Pike that established the more well-known Pike's Peak,
uh-huh.
which Pike actually never saw.
But he did?
This was his first promenade that he put his name on. And after a while decided it just wasn't enough peak for him, so he moved west and found a bigger peak but never actually stood on it or even saw it.
All kinds of interesting things about McGregor. In fact, do you know where Ringling of the Ringling Brothers is from, believe it or not?
Oh, no kidding. That's
McGregor.
That's where do they... Oh, I mean, the circus just ended. The circus is no longer. The Ringling Brothers' last performance was... Did they have any kind of... observation of that in McGregor?
I am sorry here. It's funny. I sat out here for 5 minutes waiting, and not a single truck went by. It seems to be a parade.
This is real radio.
Yeah,
that's right.
We can hear you just fine.
they were not talking about the demise of the circus.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that was going to add to the luster of McGregor, so maybe that was just a soundbite that didn't make it. Not sure.
So,
but we can't oversell just the generosity and the kindness of the people, especially the Hattery family, which is a particularly fun group of people. We went on a boat ride in the river and sort of wove around in this never-ending series of sort of singlet-type islands. You could get lost, and we kind of learned all the places that David sort of learned all the misbehavior of life early on, and it was a fantastic adventure.
Yeah, when we left this morning, we felt like we were saying goodbye to Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
We really did. They're just genuinely good people. We had a great time, and they treated us like family.
Oh, they have been lifelong Iowans, too, and they clearly acted out the part. The first night we got there, they put on a feed for us, and by this point, Bob and I knew that in Iowa, everything is measured in tenderloin. That it's your what you do with your tenderloin, which is you find the biggest piece of meat and the smallest bun made, and you try to capture the meat in the bun and present this with great pride. And when we finally sat down at Mary Lou's, she put on this kind of Fred Flintstone-like thing that was tilting the table. She wins. Mary Lou Hattery wins the tenderloin.
On a slider bun.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so have any other parts of the country surprised you like this did geographically?
Oh, gosh.
I was surprised at how kind of peaceful and how incredibly pin neat, just unbelievably clean and neat. Most of Indiana and Illinois, the farm country we went through, was.
Really, we found that with just about all the rural areas, the farmland and the houses in the farmland have been really well kept.
Mm-hmm.
I think we mentioned this before. It is people love their lawnmowers. we have seen some serious mowing going on. I think a few days ago we saw this woman mowing this. My God, it was a pasture. It was never ending, and it must have been 40 acres of grass that she was about to attack. And it was, but that's been typical.
I guess people
really take care of the land here.
I guess they don't have any ruminants.
No, this is clearly not ruminant, and you can tell that it's pride in mowing to the extent that you begin to see pattern mowing, where some people are going for that cross-cut look, and some people are going for that linear look, and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's been interesting, the whole lawn mowing thing. Bob did this brilliant job of creating this analogy for, as Bob and I have riding along, we realize that we've always known we're slightly different riders, and we're slightly different people, and we're certainly, our approach to the paintings we're doing are very, very different. And then Bob just nailed it with this analogy that he described because of all this lawn mowing. He said, he drew a little picture and put a little square and a big sheet of paper and said, that's your house. Now, how would you mow the lawn when you were a little kid? And I described going back and forth and back and forth across the whole sheet of paper until the thing was done, as about as dull and plodding a way you could do it.
Yeah.
So, Bob, how do you do it?
So, I like finishing projects, little bitty projects. I mean, I will cut up, a half acre of lawn into 20 little projects that I'll complete. And the analogy was to the riding that we're doing right now. So let's say we've got a 100-mile day that we're doing. We don't have 100 miles. We've got 10 miles till we have our first break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have another 20 miles until our second breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And then we have another 20 miles until lunch. And then we have another 20 miles until our ice cream break. And then we have another 20 miles until we finish.
Yeah.
So each one of those is worth celebrating.
And when we get to, on a 100-mile day, we get to the 50-mile mark, and I'll make some comment about, well, there's halfway, and Bob will say, no, that's three quarters of the way. It's like, wait, how can that be? It's like, well, by the time we're three quarters of the way, you can smell the barn, and it's basically over.
this is just like erging, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
It's a state of mind.
Exactly.
It's 14 past the hour. We're talking to Bruce Morser and Bob Horsley from Albion?
It's New Albion.
New Albion. Okay, as opposed to the old one.
Bob is our lexicographer.
Yeah.
You want accurate pronunciation.
I'm going to let Bruce do all the pronunciation.
You guys realize that you are pedaling through Iowa just 51 days before Ragbri.
Yes, we do know that.
People are big on this rag ride, too. I mean, everybody that we speak to talks about doing the rag ride. This is more of an eating ride than it is a ride ride.
I mean,
everybody talks about the casseroles they eat and bring and the parties that they have at night. It sounds like one big party.
Rag Ride stands for Register's Annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa. It happens every year. And just a little statistical thing here. This year's ride will take on 13,000 feet of vertical over the course of 7 days. And 400 miles. By comparison, Passport to Pain, our ride here on the island, is 10,000 feet over 80 miles. So you can imagine the difference.
In one day. A little bit of difference.
Yeah.
See, Don Hattery has ridden the rag ride 7 times, I think he said. So, and the whole family's been on. That was a family event.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on they found 13,000 feet of elevation in Iowa.
Yeah,
I
surprise,
think people
surprise.
Are stuck on the fact that they find 10,000 feet on Vashon Island.
Yeah.
So I think it's a mutual head scratcher.
Well,
the
I just.
Ride sounds sort of like a tailgate party every night.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you tailgate off of a bicycle, but I guess you have SAG vehicles.
That's right.
I went on the website and looked up the frequently asked questions, and one of the questions was, why does the ride always go from west to east? And the answer was, headwinds are grueling for riders.
That's true. We are heading north, though, Jeff.
Oh, okay. You're heading north.
So far.
So are you getting more crosswinds now, or what? How is it still pretty windy?
It's been more mixed up lately.
Yeah,
it's perfectly calm today.
We've had an idyllic morning. Basically, little to no winds, and what winds we've had have been going into our backs. And it's been sunny, and it's going to be in the mid 70s today. So it's going to be a beautiful weather day here.
Oh, nice!
It was unusual though that the people we met going the other way. Cross-country riders, you'll recall that we mentioned that both of them, even though they're heading eastbound, were complaining of headwinds.
Yeah.
So maybe cyclists just complain about headwinds.
When they encounter them, and that's what they think every day is like.
I think that's exactly right.
Okay, your route now takes you up toward the Twin Cities, and then you will turn west for Fargo.
We stay on the La Crosse River and go up and around Minneapolis, and then we go northwest to Fargo.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, it's almost north-northwest. It's pretty far north. And then we finally get into North Dakota. And then we don't really need to talk about what that's going to be like.
We don't have a clue what that's going to be like. That or eastern Montana, we're just going to arrive.
We'll get there and have a look at that as it comes along.
Well, after...
Go ahead, John.
After our son Eli spent, the better part of 6 years in North Dakota going to school, and of course he was flying planes, and one of the things it was freaking us out because every day we knew that Eli was up there either flight instructing or just flying around. And he said, you really don't have to worry, Dad. If I ever have engine failure, I just land.
Wherever. So that gives you a clue.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It is, I'll tell you, yesterday afternoon, I was on the airplane coming back from the Boston area to Cedar Rapids is where Bob drove to pick me up. And it was really, I couldn't tell whether it was exhilarating or disheartening to be in an airplane and look down at what we had just covered over a month. And to take about 2.5 hours to just fly right back over the whole thing and think, wow, there were easier ways to do that, but certainly we did it the more beautiful and exhilarating way.
Yeah. Well, I got one more question for you before we let you guys get back on your bikes, which comes from John Ginetti. He's wondering how your haircuts are holding up.
I actually have it in my notes to mention that I was going to say that Bob and I are physically, look at that.
You're looking pretty natty there. I don't know. The eyebrows could use
a
brushing, though.
Yeah, I know.
That's not JJ's domain.
Yeah, no.
Tell John not to worry that if he gets completely out of control, we'll take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder if we should fly JJ into Northern Dakota somewhere for a quick touch-up as we go. But JJ,
or you could just go back to Indiana and get him mowed.
Well, yeah. If you ever hear this, JJ, the haircuts have held up incredibly well. We look really good.
The last thing we're going to do is have someone else cut our hair while we're on the road.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
That'd be dangerous. Well, guys, it sounds like you're having a great time, and we look forward to the next update next week.
Okay,
all right. Hey, thanks for calling, and
we'll
good
talk to you.
Be careful out there. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye.
See you guys.